verses 15, 16, and 17. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia, and returned again unto Damascus. Here Paul relates that immediately upon being called by God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, he went into Arabia without consulting a single person. When it had pleased God, he writes, I did not deserve it. I had been an enemy of Christ. I had blasphemed his gospel. I had shed innocent blood. In the midst of my frenzy, I was called. Why? On account of my outrageous cruelty? Indeed not. My gracious God, who shows mercy unto whom he will, pardoned all mine iniquities. He bestowed his grace upon me and called me for an apostle. We also have come to the knowledge of the truth by the same kindness of God. I crucified Christ daily in my cloistered life and blasphemed God by my wrong faith. Outwardly, I kept myself chaste, poor, and obedient. I was much given to fasting, watching, praying, saying of masses, and the like. Yet under the cloak of my outward respectability, I continually mistrusted, doubted, feared, hated, and blasphemed God. My righteousness was a filthy puddle. Satan loves such saints. They are his darlings, for they quickly destroy their body and soul by depriving them of the blessings of God's generous gifts. I tell you, I stood in awe of the Pope's authority. To dissent from him, I considered a crime worthy of eternal death. I thought of John Huss as a cursed heretic. I counted it a sin even to think of him. I would gladly have furnished the wood to burn him. I would have felt I had done God a real service. In comparison with these sanctimonious hypocrites of the papacy, publicans and harlots are not bad. They at least feel remorse. They at least do not try to justify their wicked deeds. But these pretended saints, so far from acknowledging their errors, justify them and regard them as acceptable sacrifices unto God. Verse 15. When it pleased God. By the favor of God, I, a wicked and cursed wretch, a blasphemer, persecutor, and rebel, was spared. Not content to spare me, God granted unto me the knowledge of his salvation, his Spirit, his Son, the office of an apostle, everlasting life. Paul speaking. God not only pardoned our iniquities, but in addition overwhelmed us with blessings and spiritual gifts. Many, however, are ungrateful. Worse, by opening again a window to the devil, many begin to loathe God's word and end by perverting the gospel. Verse 15, who separated me from my mother's womb. This is a Hebrew expression meaning to sanctify, ordain, prepare. Paul is saying, when I was not yet born, God ordained me to be an apostle, and in due time confirmed my apostleship before the world. Every gift, be it small or great, spiritual or temporal, and every good thing I should ever do, God has ordained while I was yet in my mother's womb, where I could neither think nor perform any good thing. After I was born, God supported me. Heaping mercy upon mercy, he freely forgave my sins, replenishing me with his grace to enable me to learn what great things are ours in Christ. To crown it all, he called me to preach the gospel to others. Verse 15. And called me by his grace. Did God call me on account of my holy life, or on account of my Pharisaical religion, or on account of my prayers, fastings, and works? Never. Well then, it is certain God did not call me on account of my blasphemies, persecutions, oppressions. What prompted him to call me? His grace alone. Verse 16. To reveal his Son to me. We now hear what kind of doctrine was committed to Paul. The doctrine of the gospel. The doctrine of the revelation of the Son of God. This doctrine differs greatly from the law. The law terrorizes the conscience. The law reveals the wrath and judgment of God. The gospel does not threaten. The gospel announces that Christ is come to forgive the sins of the world. The gospel conveys to us the inestimable treasures of God. Verse 16, that I might preach him among the heathen. It pleased God, says the apostle, to reveal himself in me. Why? for a twofold purpose, that I personally should believe in the Son of God, and that I should reveal him to the Gentiles. Paul does not mention the Jews for the simple reason that he was the called and acknowledged apostle of the Gentiles, although he preached Christ also to the Jews. We can hear the apostle saying to himself, I will not burden the Gentiles with the law, because I am their apostle and not their lawgiver. Not once did you Galatians hear me speak of the righteousness of the law or of works. My job was to bring you the gospel. Therefore, you ought to listen to no teachers of the law, but the gospel. Not Moses, but the Son of God. Not the righteousness of works, but the righteousness of faith must be proclaimed to the Gentiles. That is the right kind of preaching for Gentiles. Verse 16. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Once Paul had received the gospel from Christ, he conferred with nobody in Damascus. He asked no man to teach him. He did not go up to Jerusalem to sit at the feet of Peter and the other apostles. At once he preached Jesus Christ in Damascus. Verse 17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. I went to Arabia before I saw any of the apostles. I took it upon myself to preach the gospel to the Gentiles without delay, because Christ had called me for that purpose. This statement refutes the assertion of the false apostles that Paul had been a pupil of the apostles, from which the false apostles inferred that Paul had been instructed in the obedience of the law, that therefore the Gentiles also ought to keep the law and submit to circumcision. Verses 18 and 19. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Paul minutely recounts his personal history to stop the cavil of the false apostles. Paul does not deny that he had been with some of the apostles. He went to Jerusalem uninvited, not to be instructed, but to visit with Peter. Luke reports the occasion in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Barnabas introduced Paul to the apostles and related to them how Paul had met the Lord Jesus on the way to Damascus, also how Paul had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Paul says that he saw Peter and James, but he denies that he learned anything from them. Why does Paul harp on this seemingly unimportant fact? To convince the churches of Galatia that his gospel was the true word of Christ, which he learned from Christ himself and from no man. Paul was forced to affirm and reaffirm this fact, his usefulness to all the churches that had used him as their pastor and teacher was at stake. Verse 20. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Was it necessary for Paul to go under oath? Yes. Paul is reporting personal history. How else would the churches believe him? The false apostles might say, who knows whether Paul is telling the truth? Paul, the elect vessel of God, was held in so little esteem by his own Galatians to whom he had preached Christ that it was necessary for him to swear an oath that he spoke the truth. If this happened to Paul, what business have we to complain when people doubt our words or hold us in little regard, we who cannot begin to compare ourselves with the apostle? Verse 21. Afterwards, I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. Syria and Cilicia are adjacent countries. Paul traces his movements carefully in order to convince the Galatians that he had never been the disciple of any apostle. Verses 22, 23, and 24. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. In Syria and Cilicia, Paul won the endorsement of all the churches of Judea by his preaching. All churches everywhere, even those of Judea, could testify that he had preached the same faith everywhere. And, Paul adds, these churches glorified God in me, not because I taught that circumcision and the law of Moses should be observed, but because I urged upon all faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.